Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Hermúdez Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente en esta hermosa mañana.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly on this morning and every day of your life, and each one of us as well. May God bless us this morning, and may He speak directly to our souls, to our hearts, through His Word. Today, Sunday, March 30th of this year, 2025, as we were saying this morning, today we remember the day that God took our beloved brother, William Soto Santiago, and in that man, God carried out a very important work for the blessing of the entire church bride. And today, we are understanding more clearly that great mystery of that messenger in the midst of his church. And soon, we will see him again. God made a promise that we only say goodbye for a short time, perhaps some longer, some shorter. We say goodbye to our loved ones when God calls them. And the promise is that He said in His Word that they will resurrect. And soon, that will be a reality. Now, there are things that will be happening. Because remember that at some point in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, when that ministry was being carried out in that activity, the angel and Brother Branham descended there. Now, since when will that be carried out, starting from their theophanies? There will be many blessings and surprises, which later on you will see. Well, they were always with us. Now, let us allow all of that to be materialized and fulfilled so that no one starts to interrupt the divine program, but everything is being carried out as He promised it. Today, many people are celebrating their birthday. I did not know that so many people were having a birthday today, March 30th, in different places. They were writing to me that their birthday is today, to try to mention everyone, so then I don't neglect to mention one of them, and they'll say, "You didn't mention me." Well, to all those whose birthday is today, may God bless you greatly and continue to use you greatly in the work of God in this end time. Let us read in Zechariah chapter 4. Verse 11. From this message that he preached to us on July 10th, 2009, titled The Two Anointed Ones Before the Lord of All the Earth, preached in Bogota, Pereira. From Bogota to Pereira, Colombia. Chapter 4 of Zechariah, verse 11 says, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. There he writes, Michael and Gabriel. And he also writes, Moses and Elijah. There, above verse 11, he places several scriptures, Revelation 11, 3 to 6. The two anointed ones before the Lord of all the earth. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message titled The Security of God's Anointed One, preached on Saturday, March 19th of 2011 in Lima, Peru. There, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, Therefore, let us be holding on tight to Christ, the angel of the covenant, praying at all times with our congregations, praying to God, because we are in a very, but very dangerous time. It was said that the enemy would not leave us. He wouldn't leave the church alone at the end time, and much less when it was very close to the third pool, which will be fulfilled as it was promised. It was said that the third pool will bring the faith for the rapture. It was said that the third pool is the sword in the hand, the word. It was said that the third pool will be fulfilled in a great tent cathedral. It was said that in the third pool, the faith will be given to the church to be transformed. Where was it said that the rapturing faith would be given to the church? In a great tent cathedral. Today, that is a reality. We are under the great tent cathedral. It is no longer something for the future. It is already a reality. And if it is said and has been said that the rapturing faith would be given, then Amos 3:7 is fulfilled again. Every time God sends a prophet to earth, that scripture is fulfilled. Surely the Lord would do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, His prophets. And if the faith will be given, then it must be spoken, communicated to the people. It was said that in the third pool, the faith will be given to the church to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Brother Branham, in the message, Perfect Faith, he tells us there why the rapture hasn't taken place. Notice on page 34 of this message, the Reverend William Branham says, This is coming into that third pool. I'm believing it. Now I want to ask you a sincere question, you that passed through the prayer line. Can you actually believe and feel now that there is something happened in you since you've had hands laid on you? Raise your hands. there it is. There is what we've waited for. Now, this is just starting to bloom now. See, just started with, I did it for a purpose. I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. See, it's taking this change of faith and going right back to begin and come in. See, to kind of raise faith in a bracket where you've never noticed it that way before. Not a faith, but a perfect faith. Build up in here. Build up in the soul. In the most holy place. And watch a perfect God with a perfect heart. See? Keep a perfect promise by His perfect word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. What? We're coming now to the perfection because the people has to come to this in order for the rapture. That's what's holding it away right now. See? He writes there, what is holding the rapture? And he also writes, rapturing faith to raise faith. How? That's a question. And on top he writes, the third pool. That's what's holding it away right now. Is waiting for that church to come into that perfect raptured faith. Looking for it. It means a lot of shaving down for me. It means a lot for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. Amen. And he also writes there, faith will reach a level. Now remember that he said that we do not have enough faith. Page 123 of the Book of the Seals. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Yes, it will be a revelation because faith is revelation. And our brother William, there in that message we are reading, which was in 2011, and he's already indicating the place where that rapturing faith would be made known. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. Now notice, this was spoken, perfect faith was spoken on August 25th, 1963. He had already preached the seals, which was in March. And there is where he says, I'm looking for it. In other words, he was looking for that. After he spoke about the seals, where here he shows us what is going to give the rapturing faith. And he identifies it as the thunders. And then we see how Dr. William Soto Santiago identifies the place. See? The Holy Spirit sheds more light each time. And every time that shadow comes closer to the reality, it is then being seen more clear and more clearly until the reality is seen. Today is the reality. Notice, when Brother Branham was there, at that time when he was transported to, he says that he was above the congregation. when he says that he was above a people, a group, and that you and I are here today, that truly cannot be called anything other than predestination. Because among so many people, since he was transported to this day, which perhaps at that time you were not even born, and the struggles that your ancestors went through, your parents and everything for you to be born, and how God led that soul for you to be in the right seat at the right time when our brother Branham went.
Oh,
that is something so and so great. It's by divine election. You did not wish for that, nor did you ask for it. It was him, the one who said, this one, this one, this one, this one, I will put them there. They will receive me in my coming. They will be there receiving the rapturing faith, because the rapturing faith is only for those who will be transformed. It will not be for anyone else. You can be sure of that. You will not be imposed to receive the rapturing faith. Just like no one can prevent an elect of God from being transformed. He can jump, leap, and try to. He will take his smacking, but you can be sure that he will be transformed no matter what happens. Now, he continues to say here, because what we got right now, we won't be able to do it. There is something. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. Now, our brother William continues to say here in the message that we are reading, the security of God's anointed one. Therefore, there is a direct connection between the rapturing faith with the third pool. The creative word being spoken and with the fulfillment of the tenth vision. If it is the word of God being spoken, then there has to be a preacher to speak that word, to place that word right. It is the message, it's the message itself. Therefore, we have to see that relation and connection that exists, so that we are praying for the tenth vision to become a reality, for the creative word being spoken to become a reality, so that the transformation faith for each son and daughter of God to become a reality. On page 548 of the Book of the Seals, there we see the pillar of fire speaking, and how is speaking. Notice. And just then he picked me up on that paragraph 299. He took me up and sit me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. And I looked, and there was a little box, like little place over in the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody, and there above, to somebody, he writes, 50 Laja. Above, he writes, 8th age. Me. And he writes, 7th age. In other words, where Brother Branham was. That light that you see there on the picture It whirled away from me like that and went over the tent and said, I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pool and you won't tell it to nobody. And there he writes, the third pool equals produced the silence. The tent equals the third pool. He also writes there, he was standing there. Now notice what produces that half hour of silence. It is the fulfillment of the seventh seal of Revelation chapter 10, the coming of the mighty angel coming down from heaven with the little book opened in his hand, which in Revelation chapter 8, we see that opening, which produces that silence. Now look, in this message, titled The Works of the Seventh Seal, because there we see him speaking to his church in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. But how would he be shown and manifested to the Hebrew people? He says in this message, The Works of the Seventh Seal, preached on May 4th, 1998, in Veracruz, Mexico. He says, and now, how will the Spirit of God come into the Hebrew people? Notice, it was called from the four winds or from the four corners of the earth. In other words, because the Spirit of God was where? Among the Gentiles, carrying out the work in the midst of his Gentile church. And that is why Jesus Christ will go from among the Gentiles to the Hebrew people. And that is Christ veiled and revealed in human flesh, the word incarnate in a man. And that is how the Spirit of God will return to the Hebrew people. On page 391 of the Book of the Seals, page 391, paragraph 102 says, after he's narrating there, that part of that man who went to that ranch and promised her that within a year he would return for her. And he finishes there in that page, and Brother Branham says, I know of another great promise like that, too, yet. I've gone to prepare a place for you, and there, he writes, the chariot of fire. I've gone to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back to receive you. They might be saying, we're crazy. But brother, to me right now, and these seals breaking like this, under this supernatural thing, I can almost hear the sound as the clock of time ticks away into eternity there. I can almost see that angel standing there and saying, at the last of that seventh angel's message, time shall be no more. There to the left, upward, he writes, time shall be no more. And on the right, he writes upward, Revelation 10, verse 1, equals Revelation 11. Because the Son of Man comes with his angels. It is the ministry of the Lord in his coming, the ministry of Jesus, and it is the ministry of Moses and Elijah as the two anointed ones that stand before the presence of God. Look, if the two anointed ones that are before the presence of God God promised that He would send them among the people as the two anointed ones, those ministries which the Son of Man comes with those ministries, and they come from the presence of God. Where and to whom will those ministries appear? To those who also came from the presence of God. Did you hear that clearly? You are one of those who stand before the presence of God. Didn't He say it in the scripture? That they behold the face of my Father. Now notice, if He sends those ministries that are before the presence of God, He sends them to earth, there that great magnet connects word with word. What is in heaven, in the seventh dimension, which becomes a reality on earth, tangible, that also seeks that tangibility in His children. Now, He continues to say, that little loyal bride will fly away into the arms of Jesus one of these days, be taken to the Father's house. Let us think of these things as we go along now. There to the left, He draws the Star of David. And He also writes upward, rapture. And let us turn here to the same book of the seals on page 417. Says on paragraph 295, there you are. There you are. See? See how the seals opened down there in the church age? How it showed the martyrs? And now here is these two prophets standing here with the word of God to do anything to nature they want to. And they shake the earth. And it shows exactly who does it. It's Moses and Elijah. Because there is their ministries reimpersonated again in both men. Oh my. Do you see it now? See what the sixth seal is? It's those prophets. And there to the left He draws a Star of David. And below He writes, the sixth seal is two prophets, the ministries of Moses and Elijah being repeated. Now, notice, don't let it choke you. But watch what opened that seal, prophets. Now by Him saying, don't let it choke you, and the way it always happens in each time when God sends a messenger is that they stumble over the veil of flesh, which He had already said it. Let us see if it is on 136. 136 on the Book of the Seals. Notice. But when He started to write those other seven thunders, He said, don't write it. He had been commissioned to write everything He seen. But when these seven thunders over in Revelation 10 uttered, He said, don't write them at all. They are mysteries. We don't know what they are yet. But my opinion, they'll be revealed right away. And when He do, He'll give faith for that rapturing grace for that church to move out. See? And on top He writes, the thunders, the rapturing faith. He wrote it above that paragraph. We've just moved through everything that we know of, through all the dispensations. We've watched everything. We've seen the mysteries of God. We've seen the appearing of the great gathering together of the bride in the last days. But yet, there is something in there that we just can't lighten ourselves with. There is something other. But I imagine when them mysteries begin to come forth, God said, hold it back now. Wait a minute. I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John, because they'll stagger over it. Notice, he had already said it. And here in the sixth seal, he says, don't let this choke you. Just let it go, see? But I'll reveal it in that day. And he writes the eighth day, when he has need to be done. That is why today the bride cries out. And in our prayers we say, Lord, today I need you, O Father, to increase my faith by your word, to increase that perfect faith that you promised to give me. This is the time. So today I say to you, Lord, increase my faith. Give me that perfect faith. I am in need today. And you claim it because it's yours. That promise belongs to you. The transformation, the new body belongs to you. The rapture belongs to you. The marriage supper of the Lamb belongs to you. All the blessings that God has contained in the birthright belongs to you. Therefore, you say to him, O God, I need to hear from you today. How? Through the thunders. To know more about you in what and how? To know how you are revealing yourself, what you are carrying out, what you are fulfilling in your coming. I need to know more about you. Speak to me. I'm in need of that rapturing faith. Notice, the present people are the ones in whom this word, this promise, is fulfilled. They never uttered for nothing. Remember, like the little drop of ink. Everything is for a purpose. Everything is for a cause. But notice, the Creator uttered. And he heard this voice, and he went to see. But now the Lamb is showing John in the symbol of a church scripture, like for the church to know what to write. He just showed him. Said, now don't tell this just what it is. Don't go down, John, and say, now this is just what this is, or what's under this seventh seal. Don't go down and tell that. For if I tell John that, then all down through the age, the whole plan will be broke. It's a secret. In other words, notice, if the seventh seal is a secret, it is like when you have something to tell a close friend, and he's the only one who knows that secret. Or your wife or your girlfriend. Or the person you trust. But here we are talking about God's great secret. That great secret that only the church bride would know. Therefore, you as an elect of God at this end time have God's total trust, because no one, he didn't reveal the mystery of the seventh seal to anyone. No one. He said that he would leave it for the end, for that group, for his bride, for his beloved. In other words, for you. Today I can point to you. Today I can say, that secret, I have people here before me in whom this word is being fulfilled. And through the satellite and the internet who are seeing me and who are hearing me. Today I am seeing this scripture being materialized. It's a secret, see? He just wants his coming. He said now. And nobody is going to know when I'm coming. I'm just coming, see? See, that's all. It ain't for my business to know when. I'll just be ready. That is why he said in God in simplicity, let's keep our eyes wide open. Because notice, it will be so simple, he says there. And it will be so humble. He said it in the seventh seal also. But here in the message, God in simplicity, he says on page 19, many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. As I have made the old statement many times that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he is doing. See? See? That's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he done, but they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. See? And then they look forward and see a great thing coming that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10 is already happening right around them. And it's so simple that they don't know it. That is why in the seventh seal he said that when he was preaching on be humble, which is that message that he preached first in the opening of this series of messages of the seals on page 549. He says the other day, last Sunday, see, that was on Sunday evening in the afternoon. A week ago today, well, it was the 24th. And a week ago, on Sunday the 17th, he began to preach God in simplicity. The other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humble, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what it really was talking about. And now I see it. It is in such a humble way. You would think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican. He writes in the Pope. But it comes. That is the coming of the Lord. And he writes there with Moses and Elijah. But it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God. So help me, the hour is at hand. Amen. We are here, oh my. Now notice, to some people, what's high or big is little, and what's little is big. There's a place where he writes, I think it's in this book of quotations. Above he writes that, I don't know if Brother Branham says it like that, if you can find it, where he says that high is low or big is little to God and the little is big. He says something like that. But there is a writing on the top part in one of these pages. Pages here from the book. It should be the sixth seal or the fifth seal, around there. If you can find it. Where he says that what's high or what's big . Let us see here if we can find it. page. I'm turning the pages like this, one by one, see if I can see it. Here it is. It's on 395. Brother Branham is the one who says it. That's how I say how up is down and big is little. God was so great till he become, even form himself in such a tiny thing to a little tiny germ into the womb of a virgin. And around there he developed the cell and the blood and was born and raised on earth. And from that kind of a start, unadulterated, no sex desire to it at all. And at the top he writes, up is down, big is little, there on the top of that page. Up is down, big is little. Let us continue where we paused. We were on page... We turned on to page 417. 417, where he keeps saying, amen, there you are. Oh, we're living in the eagle day, brother. Head up among the clouds. They opened that sixth seal. They have power to do it. Amen. There is your sixth seal coming open, see? Now we drop right back here, and Jesus spoke it would take place. Way back yonder in the Old Testament, back in Ezekiel, back in the old prophet, they spoke it would take place. And here the sixth seal open. And they say, well, that's a mysterious thing. What did it? Here is the secret of it. The prophets. Because the Bible says so here. They can open it anytime. They can do anything to nature they want to. And they do the same thing they did do, amen, because they know how it's done. Amen, glory. When I seen that, I just raised out of the chair and started walking up and down the floor. I thought, Lord, how I thank you, Heavenly Father. There it is. That's it. They opened that sixth seal. Amen. Watch them. Watch them. If any man hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth, the word. Holy Ghost come upon the apostles. There he writes, the day of Pentecost. You see, fire proceeded out of their mouth. And there he writes, the year of Pentecost. To the right, he writes, the apostles. Notice there he talks about fire proceeded out of their mouth. There's a little song that I sent, a few lines I sent to Gabriel. The day we arrived, it was on Thursday. Was it Thursday that we arrived? And I was coming, it was already late, around 9. And there I started to write, and notice it has to do with this. I gave it to him that night, and by 5 in the morning, he had the melody. It was something like several lines and a little verse. Look, let's see if I can sing the chorus. Regarding this of the tongues, it says, I'm not going to start from the first verse, but the paragraph. That chorus says, cloven tongues of fire appeared unto them in the fulfillment of that time. today pillars of fire will also come. And thus we will be in His likeness. That was a little song. We were in the car and I recorded it. I sent it to Gabriel and he prepared it right away. Later we can put it in the hymns so that we can sing it. Because notice, back on the day of Pentecost, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. There is a message where he writes, today it is pillars of fire. In other words, today is the total supreme deity, the presence of the Lord in all His fullness in His children. That is why, what did Brother Branham see there in that place? It was the pillar of fire. In other words, it was the presence of the Lord in all His fullness in the midst of His church, working those wonders. What we saw partially in the Reverend William Branham, notice he said, what you have seen partially will be shown in the fullness of its power. He says, when the squeeze comes down. Now, he goes on to say there, Holy Ghost come upon the apostles, you see, fire proceeded out of their mouth. Now, notice over in Revelation 19, we see the same thing. Revelation 19, above that he writes, Moses and Elijah. See? What we read on page 343. Oh, let us see. 340. Where he wrote, Revelation 10, verse 1 equals Revelation 11. It is the coming of the angel of the covenant. Notice, and in Revelation 11, it is the two olive trees, and Revelation 19 is the white horse rider. It is the Lord Himself in His coming. Remember that He comes with His angels. Now, let us continue here. He goes on to say, now notice over in Revelation 19, we see the same thing. That he writes, Moses and Elijah. And a great sword proceeded from his mouth, word. Because remember that the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, which are two prophets, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. You have to really understand what the seventh seal is and what the seventh trumpet is. You have to be well versed in that so that you understand that is the same thing. He always repeated that to me. Now, notice over in Revelation 19, we see the same thing. And a great sword proceeded from his mouth, word. See, Christ's coming. And he slays his enemies with it. Is that right? Now, he is on his road. Watch him now. All right. These have power to shut the heavens, that he reign not in the days of their prophecy. Boy, that's interrupting nature. Now, how long did this man Elijah close the heavens for? 3.5 years. There you are, exactly. How long is Daniel's 70th? That's part of the 70 week. 3.5 years. There you are exactly. What did Moses do? Let us go or turn there to the book of quotations on page, let us see, page 59. That one also, but is the one that says about the ministries of Moses and Elijah in those 3.5 years before the tribulation. It says something like that. Let us see here. where it says that they die before the tribulation. It says something like that. We're almost there. Let us see if it is 499. That's the one, 499. Page 57, notice it says, and oh, watch these three prophets, or these two prophets, when they raise up here, and in the middle of the week, they're cut off like that. And then starts the battle of Armageddon. Then God begins to speak himself. Then he stands and he writes resurrection. And then he stands and begins to fight. Then prophets are striking the earth. They are preaching the name of Jesus Christ. They are baptized in the same way. They're doing the same thing that the first Pentecostals fathers did. And many are following them. And there at the top he writes, they preach in the name and baptize in the name of Jesus. There's a message where he says that the messenger of the age of the cornerstone and ministers, I think it was around 2000, and ministers at the end time alongside the messenger of the age of the cornerstone would be baptizing. We have already read that excerpt. Now notice that here he also says Moses and Elijah die before the 3.5 years. Now he goes on to say there, what did Moses do? I'm on page 418 on the seals. What did Moses do? He turned the waters into blood. And he writes, water into blood. He done all these kind of miracles. Just exactly what's predicted here under this sixth seal. And here they are in Revelation 11 doing the very same thing. Amen. There is three different places in the scriptures right there, blending the thing right together. That's the opening of the sixth seal. Right there it is. Amen, glory. Here, God is about to deliver his son Israel after the same manner of the tribulation that he did down there. He sent Moses down there and delivered Israel. Above that paragraph, he writes, the deliverance of his son Israel. And below he writes, Israel equals Moses delivers them. There at the bottom of the page, Israel equals Moses delivers them. Let us turn to 4:18. He sent Elijah to Ahab. And 7,000 come out. Is that right? There to the left, he writes, the 144,000. He sends them right back over here again in the time of the tribulation and calls out the 144,000. Now see, you notice between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, the seventh chapter of Revelation mathematically set together right. And at the top he writes, Revelation 7, is the gap between the sixth and seventh seal. Now, our brother William continues to say here in the message that we're reading of the works of the seventh seal, he says, this is how Christ will return to the Hebrew people. And the gospel will return to the Hebrew people. The gospel of the kingdom will go on to the Hebrew people. But first, he must be where? In the midst of his Gentile church. to give her the revival of the last day. He must be speaking to her with those seven thunders, which is also the great voice of the trumpet, the great voice of the trumpet of the gospel of the kingdom, revealing to her the mystery of his coming and carrying out the works of his coming, which are the works of the seventh seal, which will be seen manifested by Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Word coming incarnate, where? In a man, in the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ. In a writing, he tells us there, the shepherd's staff, the shepherd's word. The staff equals the creative word, which Moses and Elijah will have today. The shepherd's staff equals the shepherd's word. The staff equals the creative word, which Moses and Elijah will have today. Now notice in this message, the Easter seal. At the beginning of this message, which I have it also here in English, there he says, I hope that God on page 2, I hope that God repeats it again. Not because we're going down there, but because we're looking for the coming of the Lord. And as the song said, we're seeking out that little lost sheep. He won't come until that sheep is in. Everyone has to be in the fold. He won't close the door till that last one is in. So, minister brothers, I'm sure with you this morning of trying to hunt out that last sheep. He might be in Phoenix this morning, I don't know. But when that last one comes in, then the shepherd will close the door. Who will close the door? The shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now notice, who is the one that has that shepherd's staff? Moses and Elijah. Now he continues to say here, the Hebrew people will also see the works of the seventh seal, and they will say, this is what, and this is whom we have been waiting for. Because they are waiting for the coming of the angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord, as Malachi chapter 3 says, that he will come, and they know he will come in the form of a prophet. He will come veiled in human flesh. It will be the word incarnate in a man. It must be a prophet. It must be in a prophet. That is what he read. In other words, what he tells us here in the book of the seals, regarding the conversation he had with a rabbi. And this was already in the seventh seal. On page 524, he says, paragraph 97, as I was talking to a Jew up here at Benton Harbor, when that John Ryan, being blind all of his life, nearly, received his sight. They taken me over there, that house of David. And this rabbi come out with his long beard, he said, by what authority did you give John Ryan his sight? I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, far be it from God having a son. See? And he said, you people can't cut God in three pieces and give him to a Jew. Make three gods out of him, you're a bunch of heathen. I said, I don't cut him in three pieces. I said, Rabbi, would it be a strange thing for you to believe one of your prophets told that something's wrong? He said, our prophets don't tell nothing wrong. I said, who was the prophet Isaiah speaking about? Who was Isaiah 9:6 speaking of? He said, the Messiah. Now notice, Here, Brother William says that they would be seeing him in the midst of the Gentiles, veiled and revealed in human flesh. And notice, on Sunday, Rabbi Moshe Doron asked for the link. Ask if it was a different link, because he already has the link to the tent, to tune in from the start of the activity. And they were watching that activity there. But notice, after the activity, people who know about the message and who should know what God would be carrying out at this end time, many rose up to mock and criticize and to say that that was a failure. That wasn't, look at that there, it was, and many other things, which they are already ordained to do that. And one doesn't even feel pity anymore, but they have to continue fulfilling what they have to fulfill to receive what they are going to receive. And yet you can see a group of Hebrews, of Jews, rabbis, sending me afterwards in the afternoon. There is a 6-hour difference there. It was already midnight, and they were telling me what a beautiful activity you had there. Very beautiful, he said. And others were congratulating me and all that. In other words, they are paying attention. Now remember that the rapturing faith is for the elect. Their part will come, but it will all happen in an interlace. Just wait until the sign of the prophet is shown to them. God can no longer deal with them directly until the church bride is completely prepared. But everything is always in an interlace, and they are already there watching, ready, on the lookout. Because certain things were also spoken there. So notice how that word starts sprouting. It starts bringing forth everything that Ezekiel chapter 37 spoke of those dry bones. For every work that God is going to carry out in each age and each dispensation, the word has to be spoken. And it seems like nothing is happening, but the word is already spoken. And around that word, it starts to produce everything, because that word is a seed. That word is life. Now he says, I said, who was Isaiah 9:6 speaking of? He said, the Messiah. I said, then Messiah will be a man prophet? Is that right? Brother Branham said that to him. He said, yes sir, that's right. And on top he writes, the Messiah will be a man prophet. Messiah, Christ, is the same thing. Anointed one is the same thing. I said, show me where Jesus missed it. He said, I said, what relation will Messiah, prophet, be to God? He said, he will be God. I said, that's right. Now, you got it on the head. So help me, that Jew standing there, and the tears rolling off his cheeks, said, I'll hear you sometime later. He writes, the rabbi crying. I said, Rabbi, you believe that? And he said, look, He said, God is able of these stones to raise children to Abraham. I know he was in the New Testament. I said, right, Rabbi. Now, what about it? He said, if I preach that, I will be down there. You know where their place set on the hill there, down there in the street, begging my bread. And I said, I would rather be down there begging my bread. The Jew had still got his hands on money, you know, see? I would rather, and his name in gold. I said, I would rather be down there eating salty crackers and drinking branch water and know that I was in the harmony with God and true, that I would be here with my name on that building in gold letters like that and know that I was away from God. I know that. He would listen to me no more. So he went in. Now, our brother William continues to say here, what they are waiting for is the coming of a prophet, in whom the coming of the angel of the covenant, the coming of the white horse rider of Revelation 19, is being fulfilled, which is the same rider, the same character from Isaiah chapter 63. And there are also other passages in Isaiah and also in the Psalms speaks about that character from Revelation 19. On page 295 in the Book of the Seals, there, Brother Branham shows us how the Word would come to earth. But when our Lord appears here on earth, He'll be riding on a snow-white horse, and He'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. God in flesh, Emmanuel. He wrote that there. Now notice in the Book of Quotations, on page 9a, paragraph 93, he says, we'll be looking for that great one to rise. He might come in my day. He might come in the younger day. I don't know. He might be right among us now. We can't tell. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us till that time. Then, when this leader will take us over, he'll still be anointed of the Holy Ghost. The Elijah will. Of course, that will come. There he writes above, the anointed one equals the Elijah. That was one of the questions they asked Brother Branham. Let us see here. Question number 11. On page 461, notice he says, is the Elijah who comes to preach to the Jews the real man who lived on the earth, or will it be the spirit of Elijah in some other man? Now, if I could answer that correctly, I could tell you about Enoch, see? But I can't do it, see? Only thing I know is just the scripture says what it will be. And now, it might be that, now I'm kind of inclined, let me say it this way. I hope the brethren on the tapes, will understand this. I'm inclined to believe that it will be anointed man of their spirit. Because see, he says, does not the spirit of Elijah rest on Elijah? See, the spirit of Elijah. And he done just like Elijah did, see? And notice also, there, above that question, he writes, the fifth Elijah equals a man of this time. On 471, notice there also they ask him on question number 17, it says, Brother Branham, is the seventh angel with the spirit of Elijah the same man as the Elijah sent to the 144,000 Jews during the 3.5 years after the rapture? some of us are mixed up in this. No, he is in the same. Brother Branham replies, no, he is in the same. See, it's two different men. The Elisha that came in the form of Elijah was not Elijah. And the spirit of Elijah who came upon a man called John the Baptist was not Elijah. And the man of the seventh angel messenger at the end of Laodicean age will not be the literal Elijah. He will be a Gentile to his people. Elijah will, or the spirit of Elijah then coming at to the people there, he will be a Jew, see, for they are sent to their own people. That's my revelation. And there he writes, the fifth Elijah equals will be a Jew. Now, notice in this message, titled, The Power of the Holy Spirit, Incarnating and Working in His Church, tells us, preach on March 22nd, 2009, in Veracruz, Mexico. He says, just as we have seen throughout the biblical history, that manifestation of the Holy Spirit through veils of flesh, and in the Old Testament, it culminated with the manifestation in human flesh in Jesus. For the last day, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through veils of flesh will culminate in a veil of flesh through whom He will work and bring to fulfillment all things that have been promised for His church for this end time. And we will see Him in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. That is why when He spoke to us there in August 13th of 2017, when you see that prophet messenger of the seventh seal, you will be seeing the coming of the Lord with Moses and Elijah, fulfilling the prophecies of the third pool in the vision of the great tenth cathedral. And you will see me there again. I love you very much. May God bless you. Where would they be seeing the ministry of the seventh seal, fulfilling the prophecies pertaining to the tenth vision? Well, in a great tenth cathedral. And we will see him there, because he said that in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, at the end, the resurrection would be taking place. He said that, notice, on quote from page 12, paragraph 96, he says, now, it's written between the lines lots of time. When we get our big tent up out here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through the in between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there. And he writes, in the tent equals the resurrection. Everything will be simple. Now, something that stands out is that in the time of Jesus, the ones who saw and perhaps were more aware of many things were the women. There are some places where he speaks. Later in the next studies, we'll be speaking, reading, where Brother William speaks to us about that. He sees women helping there as well. Notice taking notes before and after. So, may God bless the women and help them with everything. And may they continue to be of a blessing as they were in the time of Jesus. And that at this time, may they have a very important part in the fulfillment of everything that is yet to be fulfilled. Now he goes on to say here, they are the ones who get up the earliest, usually. They wake up early. Through that manifestation will come the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Through what? Through that manifestation of that veil of flesh. Through that manifestation will come the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Therefore, we will see the Holy Spirit in that veil of flesh working in the tenth vision, both for it to appear, that is for the construction, as well as for the ministry that will be operated in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. On page 29 on the Book of Quotations, notice he spoke pretty clear there. That is why he said, we did not read it earlier, I think, this shouldn't, when we were speaking about stumbling and shocking, I think in the seventh seal, in the back, he spoke something about that. That this shouldn't choke. Speaking about the seventh seal. Let us see if we can find it real quick. There I have a whole staff in all of Latin America and here as well. Sometimes the chat gets to 200. It's like, ping, 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 there are a lot. 475. But notice, we are all in the same environment. And we share all this word. 475. 475 also says it. He says, he's talking about, it's page 552 in English. If it is, he'll increase, I'll decrease, I don't know. But I have been privileged by God to look and see. Now there, notice where he says, privileged to look and see, he writes, in the tent. In other words, God showed him. When he refers to this here and see, because he saw. What did he see? He saw that ministry. He saw the ministry of the seventh seal. But I have been privileged by God to look and see, and he writes, in the tent, Moses, because he is a dispensational messenger. What it was, see unfolded to that much. Now that's the truth. And I'm sure that you've noticed the things that's been happening this week. I'm sure you noticed that little Collins boy laying there dying the other night. That little leukemia girl. The kingdom of God is coming. And he writes, dispensation of the kingdom. And it's becoming more from the negative to the positive. The seven ages with their angels, the morning star. He wrote that there on top, as it has been. Now, that oughtn't to choke people. See how he was warning about it? That shouldn't choke people. How? Choking how? Well, how God would fulfill or would be fulfilling that. I told you 417. This is what we read before. Now, notice, don't let it choke you. And I believe that in the last pages also of the seventh seal, there must be another place where he spoke also about that. All of that there also shows us the fulfillment of the seventh seal. Notice on the 561, there he tells us, see Israel gathering in its own homeland. But you notice, he omitted the revelation of this seventh seal. And here when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also omitted it again. See, so we see that it is a complete mystery. Therefore, the hour is not yet for the mystery to be known. Therefore, we're this far, and the rest of it will be known there. He underlines it and circles it. It will be known, then it will be preached. And it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for his bride, or whatever takes place at that time. That is why he told us here in the book of quotations, on paragraph 519, he tells us there on page 59, there those last few sentences, he says, let's pray for God to send him, time is at hand. As soon as his ministry was finished, Messiah showed himself. As soon as this great one will come in the last days, will finish his ministry, the Messiah will show himself. And there he writes, when his ministry is finished, the Messiah appears. And above he writes, the Anointed One. He will show himself. At the top he writes, the Messiah will come. He stands in the gap. The prophet equals the sign. He wrote that there. And also in this message, the angel with the final message from God preached on December 8, 2009 in Juarez City, Mexico. He tells us, they will also be hand in hand in the Great Tent Cathedral project. It is a project that is already prophesied, and therefore it has to be carried out somewhere. And it has to be in a new age, with a new messenger, with an eternal message, and so on. And the ministries of Moses and Elijah have to be there, which are the ministries that will do great wonders, great miracles, as is promised. On page 7, on the book of quotations, paragraph 59, it tells us, but what I think the Lord is going to make his message so quick to the world in this, that he's going to send out the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit that just illuminate the whole world just in a few days' time. I believe he's calling a church, pulling a people, getting them together for this great event that's coming to pass. And he draws a pyramid and the ages to the right. And on the top he writes, for the great message with Moses and Elijah. He goes on to say there we will see, in the fulfillment of that vision, we will see the ministries of the two olive trees, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Today, it is a reality. Today I can ask you, how many are seeing the ministry of Moses and Elijah working, operating, being operated by the Holy Spirit? There is a group of elect here, and in all countries as well. Wherever you are tuned in through the satellite and the internet, seeing that promise being fulfilled. Seeing the ministries of Moses and Elijah carrying out what was promised that he would carry out. The two anointed ones before the Lord of all the earth. That is the subject we will be seeing on this occasion. Let us stand. And we are all ready to receive that message. And I don't know if there is a song that we can sing today. And since he liked that Psalm 103, I think we can sing Psalm 103. If we can ask Ruth to come here and sing for us along with everybody that song, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits, of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
Amen. the two anointed ones before the Lord of all the earth. We thus leave with us in this subject our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.